Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking to bet the NBA Finals game number 4? Polymarket lets you react in real time. Cash out before the final buzzer. Unlike traditional sports books where you're locked into the game until it ends, get started with a free $50 using promo code BUZZ at Polymarket. That's B-U-Z-Z. Buzz, as in Buzz Peterson, or as Kelly got himself buzzed this weekend. For $50 for free. For $50 free, it says, by the way. Trading not available in all jurisdictions. Check local regulations before trading. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Once again, promo code BUZZ at Polymark. We get tweets, meet of the book. Just want to read a couple here. This is from Chris Heath. What's the total in Vegas baseball tonight? 24 and a half? Nope, 13. Didn't adjust it that much. Shrek, Mike Brown should have been more angry. The refs let San Antonio fake sub for more time to challenge that call than the free throw discrepancy. What was that? They just blew the whistle after the inbound. LOL. Yeah, the refs,
that was weird.
The refs were having a rough time in this game for a lot of reasons. Numbers guys, Gilly, I usually agree with your takes across the board, but yesterday I was a bit disappointed to hear your thoughts that Earth, Wind, and Fire are the greatest band ever. I'm not sure they're even in the top two. Come on, man. Earth, Wind, and Fire. I said Beatles aside. Earth, Wind, and Fire, greatest band ever. I stand by it. Who's better?
I like that he cut it down to, I'm not even sure they're in the top two.
That's right. So he's like allotting the third best?
Third best?
Yeah, third best, maybe. I saw a third of that documentary. Can't wait for the musical explosion for the rest of these. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some hockey. Jay Hahn joins us now from north of the border. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4. That's J-H-A-H-N-4. Of course, Jake is the co-host on the Point and the Fame and the Fantasy Hockey Show, I should say, at SiriusXM NHL, co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast at NHL Fantasy. Jake joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Curiously, not wearing his Group B baseball cap in celebration of Canada's Group B status. Are you excited for the World Cup at all, Jake? No? Yes?
I really, really missed the mark on that one, Gil. Now that you just said that, I'm thinking I really missed out here. But I am excited. I tempered excitement. I'm not the biggest soccer guy, but I do get into soccer for the World Cup, the Euro Cup as well. Any of these big pinnacle national events I can get into. I'll become a soccer expert in about a week or so. I'll be telling you about teams. So I'll certainly jump in. I'll be certainly making some bets. And I'll be rooting for Canada. They have a game here, not far from where I'm talking to you, on Friday, 3 o'clock Eastern time, Canada versus Bosnia. It was supposed to be Italy. All the Italians in Toronto bought up all the tickets, and the prices are coming down by the day. So maybe by the time Friday gets here, I can afford to go to the game. And the Yankees are in town as well this weekend. We've got the Canadian Open just outside of downtown Toronto. It is going to be an absolute zoo here. It basically already is. You're seeing the World Cup fans start to pile in downtown Toronto. So it's going to be wild here this weekend.
Throw out the records when Canada takes on Bosnia. A lot of history between those two nations.
Age-old rivalry.
Oh, yeah. Age-old. Everybody knows about it.
I did hear the thing about a bunch of the Italian Canadians buying up all those tickets and then kind of stuck with this now.
Oh, man.
That's right. There's a lot of the Italian community here is very powerful, and they got some of them got some money to throw around. So those ticket prices, guys, when Italy was looking like they were going to win that game, the live ticket prices were just absolutely insane. So they're getting a little bit more affordable as we get closer to game time here.
All right, Jake. Carolina Hurricanes, Vegas Golden Knights. The best first three games of any Stanley Cup final you remember?
We were debating this on the show yesterday, and obviously we have a lot of time to kill here before game 4 with the extra day off. So we're debating some of those best Stanley Cup finals. And I know we always say what we're watching is the best, guys. I know you guys probably talk about this as well. The thing that's in your mind right now, that recency bias we always talk about, it's hard to top what we saw in these three games. You could probably find one that you could say maybe just is as good, but you get two overtime games, the last two games. The first game was basically overtime, hurdle score, with about 3 minutes left in regulation to win that. So each game, you could argue right now, guys, it could be 3-0 Vegas. You could argue it could be 3-0 Carolina, 2-1 either way. Ultimately, it is 2-1 Vegas. Any of these games could have gone either way. That's all you could really ask. We've had some dramatic swings, some huge comebacks in games. I don't think you could really top what we've seen through three games in the Cup final so far.
I don't think you can. If you're Rod Brind'Amour, who's in goal for you tonight, Anderson or Bussy?
So again, this is something we've been debating ad nauseum over the course of yesterday. I'm sure we will today until we find out the official starter. I feel like there's a lean towards Brandon Bussey here. Now, Frederik Andersen wasn't at practice yesterday. They called it a maintenance day. They said nothing to worry about, just giving him the day off. Obviously been a long postseason run. You see that quite often at this point in the playoffs. So I wouldn't read too much into that. But I think to me, the fact, Gil, that Bussey came in and played almost a full game, because he came in, he took over after the second period. Right. So he played the full third, he played a full overtime frame, and then a few minutes. So not technically a full game, but at least two full periods. I like that for a guy that hadn't played a game in 2 months, I never played a playoff game in his entire career either. I want to at least see him get some action, and he was able to do that because that last game went so long. So you got to like how he played. You certainly can't blame him for a bit of a fluky overtime winner there off the backboards and in. So I think there's going to be a lean towards Brandon and Bussey tonight, but we'll see what Rod Brindamore has up his sleeve.
We will see. I will stand by that. You're right. You don't want to be prisoner of the moment, to use another cliche, but I think it's the best three to start a Stanley Cup final. Golden Knights come back from two down in game one. That's never been done before in a Stanley Cup game one on the road. Carolina comes back from two down in game two. Then the ultimate, Carolina comes back from four down.
Four.
After the fastest hat trick in the history of the Stanley Cup final, 6 minutes and 10 seconds from Mitch Marner, 4 points in that second period, only to have hockey happen in the second overtime, and the puck just carom off of the board and the skate into the goal. And Vegas, more relief than glee, I would imagine, with that win at that moment, as the Golden Knights lead it 2-1. What about tonight? How are you betting it?
So on the money line, guys, this is tough. As we just talked about, all three of these games could go either way. I mentioned on my show yesterday, I feel like at this point, if you're betting the money line, maybe we just flip a coin and we let the coin decide, because all these games, the margins are razor thin. But I do look at the price right there, and I see some value in the Vegas Golden Knights with question marks between the pipes with Carolina. Okay, if they do go Bussey, this is a guy that's never started a playoff game in his life. And he had a tremendous season this year. He sort of came out of nowhere, but there's a lot of pressure kind of sitting there thinking about your start instead of just getting thrown in the fire. And he was very impressive on Saturday to kind of settle that thing down for Carolina. So you either have a guy starting his first ever playoff game for Carolina, or you have Frederik Andersen, who just hasn't played well in this series and seems to be struggling and is maybe losing his game a little bit. So I think the goaltending edge lies with Vegas. They are on home ice here as well. Whatever that means these days in the National Hockey League doesn't seem to mean a whole heck of a lot. Just the fact that they're a slight underdog, Gil, if I had to play the money line, I would take the Vegas Golden Knights, just a little bit of value in my opinion there.
If you had to play it, but you're stopping short of playing it, but if you had to play, Vegas, which will warm people here, their hearts for sure.
I think at this point I'm avoiding the money line, guys, just because this series has been so crazy. It could be a good live betting opportunity the way the series has gone. Now, I don't know if we get these high scoring crazy comebacks the entire series, but we're three games in and we continue to get them. So maybe it's a situation where Vegas gets down early, you look at a live money line, or vice versa. If you like Carolina in this game, you lean towards them. Heck, Vegas could get up one or two, and the way this series is gone, you still feel like you could jump in live on the team that's trailing.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Kelly, but I think we're aligned on this, which is for the non-hockey bettors out here in the world, we can't possibly imagine how anyone pre-flop can have any conviction and say, oh yeah, this team should absolutely be the play tonight. Okay, you do have four prop bets, though. What do you got?
Right. And that's perfectly put. I know we're supposed to have a strong take and say, you know, this is what I'm betting, this is what I like. Sometimes it's just up in the air. Right. And if you've watched all three of these games, you know, that's kind of been the case. Nobody's really taking it to anybody. There's maybe been stretches where one team's played well, the other team's played well, but all in all, it's been a very even series through three games. Block shots, guys. That's something that obviously we love come postseason time, definitely in the Stanley Cup final. Neither of these teams are afraid to get in front of some rubber. Jeremy Lauzon over 1.5 blocks on the Vegas side of the ledger. He's come back into the lineup. Now, Braden McNabb played that last game with the full cage, absolute warrior. So I think Lozon's going to soak up a few more of the block shots. We saw him have a bunch in the last game, over 1.5 for him. If you wanted to play over 2.5, I don't mind that for a little bit of plus money there as well. Jalen Chatfield over 1.5 blocks on the Carolina side. And again, he had 4 in the last game. I like him to continue to get in front of pucks, and you get a better price on him compared to some of the other players. George Jordan Staal over 1.5 shots. He's been firing in this series. He's been used more as an offensive piece, as sort of a two-way guy, a face-off guy. I like the value on Staal. You're still getting plus money for just 2 shots on goal with Jordan Staal in this game for Carolina tonight. And Carter Hart, I can't believe a save prop opposing Carolina guys has dipped this low. Usually it lives in the 28.5, 29.5 range, but I think that's a lot of respect to Vegas and how they can get in front of pucks. And they've frustrated Carolina at times in this series. They can't have their high volume shooting type games. So Carter Hart over 26.5 saves. I'm buying the dip on the save prop here. And heck, maybe we get another long overtime game. That would certainly help all these overs.
Yeah, man, this is just
like
been,
it.
This has just been awesome. Again, Jalen Chatfield over 1.5 blocks, Jeremy Lauzon over 1.5 blocks, Jordan Staal over 1.5 shots on goal, and Carter Hart over 26.5 saves. The VGK goalie tonight. Jake, enjoy game 4. May it be just as awesome as games 1 through 3.
I don't know how it's gonna follow up games 1 through 3, guys, but we'll find out tonight. Always love joining you, and go Canada at the World Cup.
Go Canada. What did you say before the segment? He's like, yeah, we're off, though.
We could combine our teams.
That's right.
Still lose.
Thank you, Jake.
I like that.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real. Mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circle Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midlin in the house. Yesterday, while we were on the show, it came down. We were sort of talking about other things. It came down, this news, that Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby was granted an injunction and would be permitted to play for Texas Tech this coming year. 2-game suspension, but otherwise permitted to play. Sorsby, for those who forgotten, he admitted to placing over $90,000 in sports bets, including 40 wagers on his own team, the Indiana Hoosiers, back in 2022. And although the NCAA declared him permanently ineligible, a Texas district judge yesterday granted Sorsby a temporary injunction allowing him to play, as I said, the 2026 season. Now, this is. As Dan Wetzel said on ESPN.com yesterday, he said this is third rail stuff, right? There's no gray area here. The NCAA not merely 100% justified in ruling him ineligible, but instead 100% obligated to do so.
Mm-hmm.
We call our friend Sia Najad, who is an attorney by trade, to help us navigate through this absolutely outrageous injunction yesterday. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow Sia on Twitter at Sia Najad, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. Sia, good morning to you, sir, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for the time.
You're welcome. And yes, this is as silly as it sounds, Gil and Kelly.
this absolutely just renders the NCAA powerless. And sort of, it just again, a layman here sort of reacting to this, couldn't anybody do anything now? And by the way, part of the, you know, what I'm gleaning from the reasoning here is part of it was the NCAA, if they did not allow him to play, they were in somehow harming his mental health or were going to hurt his mental health recovery. Am I reading that correctly?
You're reading that correctly. And it's in the order that the order, and I don't know if there were written arguments because I didn't see them, but the order certainly references the arguments that Jeffrey Kessler made on behalf of Brendan Sorsby and other counsel for Sorsby. But they definitely played the mental health angle, which honestly, I would have never suspected they would have played that angle, because if we're being fair, it's laughable. I mean, this is an attorney that is very famous and that probably came in and just kind of like, good old boy kind of folksied the judge into the wrong decision here. But the mental health angle doesn't really make any sense. Essentially what Kessler and company were saying was, well, if you deprive him of playing for Texas Tech, he's not going to benefit from this elite coaching. He's not going to be able to, this is language from the order, he's not going to be able to build the skills to maximize success for Sorsby and Texas Tech. So it's interesting that they kind of threw Texas Tech in there. And I think that's so that would be like me, Gil and Kelly, cheating on the bar exam. I took the Virginia and Florida bar, passed both. Thank you very much on the first try. It would be like me cheating on the bar exam, getting caught, and then saying, hey, I want to appeal to the Virginia and Florida bar, because if you uphold the idea that I'm not eligible to be an attorney just because I cheated on the bar exam, what you're really doing is depriving me of me maximizing my career potential and earnings. Right. You are depriving me of the camaraderie among my colleagues, including but not limited to law firm retreats and golf outings. It's so ridiculous on its face.
Did you also catch this, that this is so outrageous that we actually have officials from both Georgia and Kansas State making it clear they are refusing? By the way, neither are scheduled this year against Texas Tech, it should be pointed out. By the way, for those wondering, wait, aren't they just going to appeal? Any appeal, by the way, from the NCAA will happen after this coming season, so we'll all be sort of rendered moot, right? But Georgia and Kansas State, we have officials from both of those schools saying they heavily consider refusing to schedule Texas Tech based on this. I mean, that's how far this has gone.
And I think that would be, if the court's not going to deal with it the way they should, I think that would be the way to deal with it. Obviously, if there's something and you kind of couched it properly, right? Scheduling stuff in the future, because if anything's scheduled now, I don't know that you can back out of that. The money that's involved, the lawsuits that would emerge from that would be painstaking. So yeah, I mean, I guess you could fight back by not scheduling Texas Tech in the future and things of that nature. And I think that's probably a good way to do it. As far as the appeal is concerned, you're right. I think there is the possibility, especially with some of this backlash, that there could be an expedited appeal. But even if what I mean by that is an appeal that would maybe take place before the trial date of February 2027. But even if that were the case, it would probably still be halfway, three quarters of the way through the season. And that appeal might not be successful, frankly.
I mean, because otherwise, right? Otherwise, and we could leave it at this, but otherwise, if this stands, right, and nothing else happens here, couldn't any player in any sport in college sports mess up, you know, to whatever degree, you know, even a fraction of the degree that Brendan Sorsby did? He broke the golden rule, right? 40 bets on his own team, for God's sakes. Everybody knows you don't do that, right? Anybody could do a fraction of that and just claim and just be like, it's an addiction. It's a temporary thing. I need help. So, and expect the same outcome, right? Like, this becomes this unbelievable thing where you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Well, the problem is, and there's two things. One is that you can claim irreparable harm. The other thing is you can merely just file for a temporary injunction, an injunction, which in the case of an athlete will delay it, because we know Sorsby only has 1 year of eligibility left. It might be different if it's like a freshman or sophomore with more eligibility. But the point is you can delay the proceedings just courtesy of an injunction for an entire year, depending on what jurisdiction you're in. I think that's the bigger problem here. And the thing that I thought was so crazy about this ruling, it's not necessarily the argument that was made. I think it was a poor argument that apparently Judge Curry decided was good enough to grant the injunction. But the worst part here isn't that. The worst part is, to get an injunction, there are certain things you need to establish to get an injunction. And one of those things is a substantial likelihood, or in some jurisdictions, they might say a probability of success on the underlying merits of the claim. In other words, when you go to trial, even though all the evidence isn't before the judge in that time, but you know enough typically when you're granting an injunction as to whether or not the actual claim from Sorsby against the NCAA regarding his reinstatement eligibility, whether or not that's going to be successful. And given the admissions from Sorsby and the mountain of evidence that we already have on his gambling, the idea that he would be successful against the NCAA on the underlying case is just patently absurd to me.
Wow. Unbelievable.
If you're Texas Tech, you can't let him on the field. Like, you can't let him play.
College sports.
But like, okay, hypothetically here, gentlemen, right? Like, can't I just say he got beat out and he's not going to be the starting quarterback or something? You can't let him set foot on the field.
You're expecting integrity is what you're expecting?
Because every school freaking out about this, Texas Tech should feel the same way. This kid's only here for a year.
They should. Okay.
Well, Kelly, what's their preseason rank? What's their likelihood to potentially contend? I think this is a very good Texas Tech team. And with money as your bottom line, you're just kind of hoping the story goes away. You're right. The pushback might be enough for Texas Tech to reconsider. But we know from college athletics, not just recently, but in the last 25 years, with just the restructuring of conferences and things of that nature, at the end of the day, money's going to rule this thing.
Absolutely. Jeez. It's an incredible story. It's an incredible story. Nobody saw this come. Like, nobody was thinking about this yesterday. And all of a sudden, by the way, Judge, it should be pointed out, you take this for whatever you want, from Fort Worth, Texas. Just want to point that out. Okay. Let's close this with something more sports betting related. You love professional football and golf and other things. Give me a Sia Najad professional football. I know we're here in early June, but give me an NFL take that you've got and that you're betting.
As soon as the Myles Garrett trade was made, and I understand the Rams gave up Jared Verse, I already liked the Rams to win the Super Bowl. Actually thought they were the best team last year as well, even after the fact. I still think they're better than Seattle, or at least comparable to Seattle. I like an exacta. I mean, this is just a fun bet, right? These are sprinkle bets. It's 90-1. It's now moved to 80-1, I think. The Rams over the Bengals. I think the shock for everybody on the other side of it would be the Bengals. But I honestly think the Bengals offense is unstoppable. The upgrades they made on defense beyond just Dexter Lawrence, also other free agents, Boye Mafe, other free agents in the draft, other free agents and the draft for the Bengals. I think this defense isn't going to be great, but I think they're going to be like, you know, not a bottom five defense. And if that's the case, you can't stop this Bengals offense. If Joe Burrow stays healthy, which he tends to not, but if he does and he gets regression the right way from a health standpoint, this Bengals team could very easily go back to the Super Bowl, play the Rams again like they did in 2022, and probably lose 23-20. Give me the Rams over the Bengals, 90-1 in the next Super Bowl.
Wow, 90-1, Rams over Bengals, your Super Bowl exacta. And I did not have you making a hockey bet here on the show today, but you have one.
I mean, I just like the value on the Canes, plus 158 to win the series. I think they're going to win tonight, and so that's obviously a part of it. If they don't, they're in trouble. But pre-flop here, Gil, you're saying they were what, minus 145, minus 150 to win it all. I still think they're the better team. I thought they showcased it in the third period last time out. Plus 158 to win the series. Kind of like it.
See, thank you for the perspective on Brendan Sorsby, and thank you for letting us know that you passed the bar on the first try. I believe we got that out of the segment.
Two states.
Yeah, two states.
Twice. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Wow. No big deal.
See you, Najad. His brain is bigger than yours, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Sia. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Coming back, Drew Dinsick in his normal Tuesday spot. Little NBA Finals and any tennis he might have. Next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Say there, Kelly Bidley. You know who has unmatched transparency with records updated daily?
Who's that?
The Sharp Plays. AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros.
Where can I find them?
SharpPlays.com. You can ask where you can scan them on the QR code on the screen as well. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets speeding the book. A lot of praise for Sia Najad and his appearance earlier on the show.
Yeah, he was okay. He should become a lawyer in a third state.
Betting Man Todd says the NCAA lawyers had circles run around them. When you have a mental health case, wouldn't you want to have your own specialist do an analysis on the subject? Level one gambling therapist deemed him to have a gambling addiction. NCAA didn't send anyone. Such a good point. So true. Malpractice. Nevada A's are LOL. Zach Taylor and the Bengals. Oh, pardon me. Not praise for CEO on this one. He said, LOL, Zach Taylor and the Bengals are not getting to the Super Bowl. Yes, the offense will be great, but you still need a competent head coach. Jonathan Doe. Kelly gave me permission to read this one. I use closed caption assisted by AI. It's nearly perfect, even punctuation. But when Kelly is talking, it's long strings of gibberish, repeating partial words, unintelligible hesitations, and practically no punctuation. Is it my CC or him or what? So frustrating.
You know what?
Come on, Kelly.
I'm going to hope a combination of both to answer your question. But nobody's ever called me a polished on-air voice before.
Kelly Bidlin. Long strings of gibberish, repeating partial words and unintelligible hesitations and practically no punctuation.
Hey, as long as closed captioning's upgraded me from Kelly Bin Laden, then we're making progress.
Yeah, we've made a step in the right direction.
We're making progress.
No Emu Doug, thanks for the Texas Tech discussion. Mainstream media seems unfazed or uninterested in a story I felt was massive precedent against the NCAA. Thanks for clarity on the stupid ruling.
I thought that was a bit of an odd tweet because I thought it was all over like ESPN like all afternoon yesterday.
Yeah, they were covering it pretty good. But I just...
It needed some clarity, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
See, it helped with that big time.
Tim Bowers is a great tweet. He says, you wouldn't know the Knicks are up 2-1 based on clips of how their fans are treating opposing fans. Is it possible Knicks fans are worse than Eagles fans? Tim, I have had that thought. B. Earl Nelson, Washington Bullets. I just laughed out loud listening to my car by myself. Terry Lash, you're welcome. Terry Lash, anyone sources know who Brendan Sorsby has wagered on to win the Big 12 this season? Is he going to win? Is he going with Texas Tech again?
And there's some quality jokes there. Dustin had a good one. As soon as it broke yesterday, I meant to read it on the air a couple times. As soon as it broke yesterday, just a retweet from Dustin. And did he buy the dip on his Heisman price?
And the 3_cone, the Spurs don't often run the throw it 10 feet in the air, Wemby will probably catch it play. It's very true. It's very true.
It was more last night, right?
There was.
I think it was 3-for-4 on lobs last night. 1-for-3 in the first two games.
Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. He is Base Winner, basewinner.com, at Base Winner on Twitter. And of course, the BetUS Baseball Show is where you can find him multiple times a week. Mark, good morning. No, did we lose Mark? We lost Mark.
Frozen.
I'm here. There you go. There now you're back. Is. Hey, Mark, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Gil. This is there's some interesting things developing on the baseball run line, which is a market that I've usually never played. But nowadays, I think I probably need to investigate it a little bit more.
Explain Gil. To us, would you, sir? What do you mean?
Okay, so normally, and you can concur with me, you pay a little bit of extra juice for the most part on the run line, and usually playing the run line's harder to do. In fact, if you look at the season, now this is from Carl at Killer Sports, who they just do such a good job over there. Can't give him enough props every time I go over this, but from 2022 to 2025, and this is, I think, a good data set to use. It's where the humidors are all introduced into the ballpark, so I think you get a pretty decent sample here. And so this is 4 years of data. And if you bet just I'm just going to concentrate on away favorites. Same with favorites as well. If you just bet on away favorites on the money line, you would be down about 4.5%. Well, if you bet on the run line, you'd be down about 8.1%. So you think, well, I probably shouldn't look at this run line because it's going to be a harder thing to win long term. But here in 2026, it's very interesting. You've got 350 games where the away favorite has played. And if you bet them straight up, you'd be down about the same on the money line, 4.5%. But on the run line, if you blanket bet the away favorite, you would be up 1.3%. And it's 350 games, and maybe there's some sample issues, but I think it's the way these teams are approaching the game. And I think it falls into my particular handicapping model where I look at, especially away favorite, normally a way favorite will have like a top end bullpen setup, and that's kind of how I handicap it. So I think it's worth investigating to play more run lines. In fact, I think the first run line I've played all year, maybe in the last 4 years, was yesterday Philly on the run line. And so I'm going to start playing it because I think that there's something there, Gil.
Are you following that up with something today? As a matter of fact,
that's what a pro lead in there that is. I like the Braves -1.5 +103 today. One of the things that goes into my numbers are the bullpens, and they're playing the White Sox. White Sox 20th bullpen, Braves 4th best bullpen. And then I'm not convinced on this White Sox team, particularly with Murakami out of the lineup. I've got them 29th out of 30 teams, and I got the Braves number 2. And then I'm not a huge fan of Holmes. I've got him just actually a little bit below average, 6% below average, but Fetty's 143rd out of 148 pitchers for me. So you throw all that in the mixer, I've got really good value on the money line, but you know what? I'm going to play the run line today on that particular game, Gil.
Okay, so to clarify, this is a Cubs-Braves run line parlay. Is that what we're doing here?
Well, I'm playing the Braves straight.
Oh, okay.
That's actually the best play. But the parlay, I don't think I can live my life without playing a Base Winner parlay, Gil. I just don't see it happening.
We do you.
So Mark. I'm gonna go Braves -1.5 and then Cubs -1.5. and I'm going to risk one. And if that thing hits, it's going to pay about 3-1, Gil, plus 299 on that.
Okay. So we're doing Atlanta run line straight. And we're doing a Cubs Braves run line parlay as well. Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. Gotcha. By the way, the Carl that Mark is referring to at Killer Sports, our buddy Carl Sack, the proprietor of KillerSports.com. Yes. You also have a total play today as well. Yes.
Yeah, we talk about this on the quarter shows about the umpires and how they affect the game. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it for years, Gil. And I thought this year, well, they're not going to affect the game as much as they have in the past. And I don't know if you've watched any baseball. They're affecting the game, Gil. So, you know, these guys, and I think it's because it's of the two challenges, it's hard to challenge these borderline pitches. So I don't know about you, but like I've been watching games where the pitch is outside. You can see it on the box or low, wherever it is, outside of the strike zone. And the guys will not, they will not tap the head, if you will. They will not appeal it. So I think that, I don't know, it's a blessing or a curse if you have good umpire ratings. The curse is you got to incorporate them on a daily basis, so it gives you one more step to do. The blessing is that if you can do it right, you get a little bit of an advantage in the market. I think that's what's going on today in Baltimore. We have Doug Eddings, who's the second second most pitcher friendly umpire by my ratings.
We love and, Doug Eddings. Yeah.
Yes. Mr. Doug Eddings, not to be confused with Brian McKnight, our favorite guy.
That's right.
But I've got 6.8 runs projected. And if you look at the pitchers here, Rogers has kind of been up and down this year, kind of more down than up. But if you look at his stuff plus, it's in the 74th percentile. His total bases per plate appearances, probably the lowest on the board. In fact, it is the lowest on the board today. And then Gilbert's numbers are really good too. Pitching plus 88 percentile. And then the BBK is the third lowest on the board today. So I think that there's some underlying numbers that would support that under as well, other than the umpire. But, you know, I think the bottom line is you think, well, they're going to do the ABS. The umpire is not going to have that much of an effect on a game. And they sure as hell have, Gil. That Stu Sherwater umpiring the Dodgers Diamondbacks, I think it was last Wednesday night, kept calling balls low, and mm-hmm. so they kept challenging it, and they kept winning, and it extended the game. So interesting going on what's going on with this ABS.
I got to tell you, I love every minute of it, every second of ABS. I think it's such a great add-on to the game because it goes quickly, and everybody wants it to be right in the end as much as possible. So I mean, you and I have probably won and lost thousands of baseball bets based on high leveraged missed calls in baseball games. So glad to see it. Last thing before you go here, 30 seconds. Here in Las Vegas, we're buzzing about this Brewers Athletics game last night. 15-14 Brewers with just with 11 homers, some of which were just gargantuan shots. You're a numbers guy. Do you read in? Do you jump on something like this, or do you hold back and hesitate? How does your betting numerical mind go with this?
Yeah, I just need a sample before, but I think because you're so anxious to jump on that. It looked like Home Run Derby last night. I really did. But I just the way I handicap, I got to have a sample. I don't have enough.
That's what I thought your answer would be, but I thought I would ask. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it as always.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Can I interest you in a little VSiN Pro Early Bird special? For a limited time, lock in early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That means the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, plus MLB all summer long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, we will release our NFL betting guide. Adam Burke is in the lab putting it together. To attack futures, win totals, division races, and the full season ahead, head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Man, June 22nd, a new early bird record date. That's Football Guide 1.0, I should point out.
That's right.
That's right.
Because it will be updated.
First iteration, as the kids say. Let's talk some baseball. Joe Sheehan joins us now. Joe is the author of the Joe Sheehan newsletter, which you can find, by the way, easily at Joe_Sheehan on Twitter. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. By the way, joesheehan.com is also where you can find that. Joe, where are you joining us from, by the way? Where do you hail from?
I'm originally from New York City. I live in Yonkers now, which is just outside the city.
Okay. Were you as fascinated by this game in Summerlin, Nevada as we were last night? 15-14 Brewers. What do you think about that?
I checked out a couple of times during it, and then you know, I was doing some reading and working on some stuff for today, and I just clicked back into my Slack. I've got the newsletter as a Slack, and the game was still going. I'm like, how did that happen? Like, the Brewers are 14-10, and the A's with two outs, and the A's scored, and it was a lot of fun to watch. In a year where pitching is dominated, where run scoring is down, it was nice to get a good old-fashioned 1999 baseball game last night.
You going to play it tonight? You going to play the over here?
I'd like to go back in time and play the 10.5 yesterday. It's 13 today. So the books have adjusted. It reminds me of there was a series in Mexico City in Mexico. It might have been Monterey a couple of years back where the total went from like 10.5 to 17 over 2 days. But I do like the over tonight, actually, because the conditions are going to be the same. Guys, I'm not sure if you know this. It's very hot in Las Vegas.
What?
I'm bringing some new information there. The thing we saw last night was the condition of the field. Rock hard, almost like a turf style field with the bounce you're getting. So hit the ball in the air, it's going to fly. Hit the ball on the ground, it's going to fly. Not a lot of safe options for pitchers.
What other bets did you land on today?
I like the Mariners in the first five innings against the Orioles. You've got Logan Gilbert going out. He's been very effective this year. Trevor Rogers, he righted the ship a little bit the last time out, but he hasn't struck out three batters in a game since more than three batters in a game since April 19th.
Wow.
He's really just a number four, number five type starter. He had a long stretch there. He had an ERA of 11 over about a six start stretch. So I like the first five too, because it keeps me away from the Mariners bullpen that has been worked very hard over the last 4 days. Andres Munoz, a couple of consecutive days. Everybody in that bullpen has pitched on at least of the two of the last 3 days. So give me the first five. The Gilbert-Rogers matchup is pretty good for them. Only minus 24.
Okay, and you have one more, right, as well?
Yeah, Dylan Cease returns for the Blue Jays. He's been out with an injury the last couple of starts. Nothing major. Cease is incredibly underrated. I gave him out at 40-1 for the AL Cy Young Award this year. We'll see if he actually gets there with guys like Cam Schlitter having big years. But he returns 36% strikeout rate, 2.59 FIP, 3.11 Statcast expected ERA. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. But because his ERAs have tended to run high, he doesn't get that level of respect. He's going up tonight against the Phillies team that, guys, believe it or not, this is the third worst offense in baseball so far this year. They have a 299 OBP. You think about Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, all the stars that they have, but they're not hitting at all. On the road, they are actually the worst offensive team in baseball. They got five last night. I don't think they can do it again tonight.
Okay, so once again, three-pack of plays from Joe. Brewers Athletics, over 13. He's going for it here in Summerlin. Mariners, money line, first five versus the Orioles, behind Logan Gilbert, and then the Blue Jays, money line versus the Phillies, full game today. Let's talk Cy Young, because we've talked about this extensively. It's really so different, the NL race versus the AL race. With apologies to Kyle Harrison after last night, the NL race just absolutely a logjam of awesomeness. And then the AL, kind of a logjam of I don't know what. What are your feelings on both of these two races?
You know, the AL, like I said, I gave out Cease at the start of the year, missing a couple of starts. I don't think that's going to hurt him too much. I think he can get back into this. Cam Schlitter, obviously the favorite at this point. I think one of the questions we're going to have is how many innings he's going to throw this year. Excuse me, guys, I'm being arrested for this take.
That's it. You're done.
Schlitter did throw 140 innings last year between the majors, the minors, and the playoffs. I figure the Yankees are going to try to have him throw maybe 175, 180 this year, but they're going to need some of those to be in October. So as the year goes on, are we going to see him pull back? Is he not going to be able to put up the kind of counting stats that will enable him to hold up a DeGrom, a Cease, a Williams? I think this is a wide open race right now. There's still a chance. It's not a great chance that Tarik Skubal comes out and is so great over his last 15 starts that he injects himself back into this. You've got Davis Martin in Chicago. I don't know that his performance is sustainable. If you talk about the guys in this group who can continue to repeat the performance they've had, I think it's Cease, it's DeGrom, and it's Schlitter.
What about the National League? Who would you vote for now?
Christopher Sanchez. And I think that's who we're going to end up voting for at the end of the year. You guys talk about this race a lot. And I think one of the factors that doesn't come up enough is innings. Christopher Sanchez has been a major league starter now for a while. There's not going to come a point where the Phillies are going to feel a need to manage his innings. But you look at Jacob Mizrowski, and as great as he's been, you know, he's peaked at 140 innings last year. I mentioned this with the Yankees. The Brewers need him to pitch well, not for 6 months, but for 7 months. And I do think at some point they're going to throw the brakes on him, and that's going to affect his ability to win these awards. I would make the same thing a point about Ohtani, who as of today isn't even eligible for the ERA title in the National League. They've got him on a once-a-week schedule, which means he might or might not get to 162 innings. I think Ohtani's only chance, given the fact that he's going to have such low volume, is to break Bob Gibson's ERA record of 1.12. It's very hard to do. I think Ohtani's only path, though, is to set that record, be eligible for the ERA title, and that's the way he gets past Sanchez. But right now, you look at the guys eligible for this award, and it's Sanchez and maybe Paul Skenes as guys who are expected to pitch a full season.
You are so right about innings pitch. Tom Tango, a sabermetrician who has had the tried and true Cy Young formula, which is hit at an inordinate rate over time. The first part of his formula is innings pitch divided by two minus earned runs. That's right at the start of the formula. So it does matter. And Christopher Sanchez in the catbird seat right now, plus 140, Jacob Mizrowski plus 180, Shohei 5-1 to win the National League Cy Young as we sit here and do this on June 9th. I want to talk about the Giants just for a second, because I think it's one of the more fascinating things in baseball is when the trade deadline approaches, or in the case of the Giants, the Major League Baseball draft right in mid-July as well, where they have an interesting window here to capitalize. They've got all these veteran players, and they got to blow this up. You can't do this. You can't be, you know, one toe in, one toe out in a division that includes the LA Dodgers. But I'm curious, Joe, is this going to be easier said than done? Because I don't know who's taking Adames' contract or Devers' contract or that kind of thing. And then the guys that you really kind of want to hang on to, right? The Lees and the Ariases of the world, I'm not sure you want to let those guys go. So how does this end up for the Giants, do you think, in the end?
Well, Arias would be an easy trade target only because he's only signed for this year. So you can move him, and he's not part of your future. I want to say Jung-Hoo Lee signed a four-year deal when he came over. And sometimes with Japanese players, I'm not sure whether he gets to be a free agent at the end of that or not. So you wonder how much longer he's going to be around. One of the issues you have is that the reason the Giants are bad this year are the players that you might now want to trade. So they don't have a ton of trade value. I'm not sure what the market is for Matt Chapman at his current performance level with his contract. I'm not sure what the market is for Willy Adames at his contract at his current performance level. It's a problem. You're just not going to be able to move these guys. Even if they might make a team one win better, nobody's going to take that contract off your hands just to get one win better. I think the only real attractive prospect they have here is Logan Webb. Is there an argument for trading Logan Webb going into a full rebuild and kind of trying to come out the other side in 29 or 30? One of the things about the Giants right now is while they don't have a lot of prospects at the top end of their farm system, they are fantastic at the lower levels. They've done an excellent job the last few years, both drafting and internationally, in building out the bottom of this system. So you can make a case for the Giants going into one of these two-year rebuilds and looking to emerge in 28 or 29 with that core, as well as the prospects that they might get for a Logan Webb. But to me, if you're serious about this, you have to trade Webb.
I think you're right. Last thing, 30 seconds. The team in either the American League or National League that you think most people aren't talking about that could slip into the playoffs and make some noise?
I gave them out at 10 to 1 at one point. The Red Sox, they've really undercut this, so I'm not sure they're the team really either. I would say maybe the Diamondbacks. I had the Diamondbacks, gave them that 20 to 1 to win the division. That's probably not going to happen. But you look at this offense starting to come together. I really like the rotation. If they get Corbin Burns back, I think they can make a run here. So I would say the Diamondbacks.
Joe, always appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Sheehan, everybody. @Joe_Sheehan on Twitter. The Joe Sheehan newsletter at joesheehan.com.